A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, boy.
Look, I know you like to do the intros these days, or some sort of alpha thing, or you got more caps or something. So, do you want to do it?
No, mate, you go for it. All right. Who did it last week?
I don't know, but I'd like to do it. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Hey, baby girl. This is this week's episode of the Flats and Shanks podcast. I'm Flats, he's Shanks. Shanks, you get the baby girl reference, don't you?
You want the truth? You can't handle the truth.
But I'm a motorcycle. But I'm a bike.
Nicholson didn't think of. Made. I'm loving it. It's so good.
Oh.
Alan Partridge, This Life. It's brilliant.
It's just, it's that clip you sent me of... Hey, baby girl, which is like, it's one of the most excruciating things I've ever seen, including, it's more excruciating than series two of The Office.
I mean, everything he does is brilliant. Like his little facials that he pulls, like when he gets things wrong or he knows he's messed up. I mean, it's the best I've seen. Oh. It's some of his finest work. Honestly, I love it. All the references, it's so clever. Like, I think it's really layered. And you go back, you watch it, you'll actually hear stuff that you didn't hear first time round.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. I mean, I don't watch it live on a Friday night because, you know, I'm busy. I've got social life. I'm just out partying and hitting bombs at the golf club.
You're too busy getting on it, aren't you?
Or Jaeger bombs. But I'll watch it on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon and it will tickle me. And I'll have to text Ross Harris straight away.
Ross Harris.
Big fan of it as well.
Yeah.
It's just so good. I mean, have you watched them or are you just getting the clips that I've sent?
No, I get the clips from you and I keep saying to myself, I'm going to...
Oh, mate. Last week he was with the SAS.
I've watched one and it was like brutally funny. And I was like, right, I'm actually going to... It's almost like... I'm saving it up, like my favourite biscuit.
Okay, yeah.
I'll watch them all at once at some point.
Hoarding them up, and then you're just going to properly do a job on yourself.
I can't watch TV on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon. What are you doing that I'm not? If I can watch rugby, if I've got clearance for that.
Well, I didn't work this weekend.
Yeah, if I'm at home, I can't watch telly. I'm not allowed.
Why?
Because it's like, oh, you got a weekend off. Oh, just do something. Let's go for a walk. All right.
Mate, it's 25 minutes long. You're allowed to watch 25 minutes out of a whole day.
I get evil looks, mate. No, you're right. You're dead right. I could prioritise that. I need to sort my life out a little bit. Yeah. It's not news to anyone that Steve Coogan is a genius, but he is a genius. He's also a car freak like me, which is another reason we'd get on.
Yeah. But I mean, if you had to pick between him and Gervais, it's a tough one.
I think you'd probably laugh more with Ricky Gervais. He strikes me the sort of guy who's funny all the time.
I don't know, though. Like, I mean, Partridge, he just keeps reinventing himself all the time. Like, David Brent's gone. You know, we had two series and a couple of Christmas specials.
Yeah.
This guy just keeps delivering every year.
Yeah, the postman.
I think it's Partridge. Yeah. I think it's Coogan, mate.
Okay. Well, you have him. I'll have Rick. I feel like Coogan might go a bit dark, but then I feel like if I want to start talking about cars, Ricky Gervais would hammer me for it and call for guard. Mm. And Steve Coogan would humour me and keep me going. So maybe, I don't know, boy. Most importantly, what people want to know is two questions for you. How much golf have you played since we last spoke? And have you cooked anything interesting? This is a rugby podcast, by the way.
No, I haven't played golf. This weekend was too busy. And I've been had a bit of work. I've played last week, but not yet. I'm going to play this week. What have I cooked? Nothing interesting, Flats, because I went out for food on Friday afternoon in a little restaurant called Le Monde.
Love it. Been there.
In Cardiff.
There used to be one in Bristol, fella. There ain't no more, but yeah.
Mm. Can't go wrong there, mate. It's a brasserie type. Often I'll eat fish there, but I didn't. I thought, do you know what? I'm going steak and chips. I want to know where I am. Exactly. So did that. I've had double red meat this week. I normally only have it once a week, but I cooked a roast dinner on Sunday, but I used some Field and Flower fillet. Mm. So seared it off in garlic butter, put it in the oven in the frying pan, pulled the frying pan out and then forgot that it's hot and grabbed the handle and ooh, ouch.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good stuff, mate. Well done.
Parmesan was a bit like plastic for a bit.
Okay.
And that's been it, mate. That's been it. I ordered a Domino's on Saturday because I was feeling slightly needy, should I say.
2,500 calories in one hit.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
If you're trying to stay in nick, that is probably a bit more than your recommended daily intake in one hit.
Well, I don't know, mate. I'm not going to listen to you. What I will do is Instagram Sam Warburton Live and find out from the horse's mouth.
Yeah. Thoroughbred horse, mind. Veiny.
Horse's nose, should I say.
He's as veiny as a thoroughbred horse. He's as lean as a thoroughbred.
Is the calorie count still high if you go thin base?
No, it's calorie free then.
Okay, and I suppose the extra calories of the chicken strippers, because why did you just have a pizza? You can't just have a pizza, that's
chicken
weird.
Chicken strippers?
Yeah.
Are they called strippers?
Yeah. Big awesome. Time.
Awesome.
Well, I'm pretending like you don't know.
I'm not.
What's it called? A big mat?
Chinese taker? So you went out to a restaurant, you haven't played golf. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you done anything interesting in the last sort of week or so? And how was your restaurant experience? Are you like, oh, it's so good to be back out there? Or are you like, this is exactly what it was like before?
It is different because you've got smaller groups. You've got to book places if you want to go for a little drink after. But you can book and pre-order drinks, which is quite good. So, you know, if we book peppermint or Be It One, you know, we can order 6 porn star martinis.
Be It One.
When we get there. You are what you drink. I've always said that. But no, mate, nothing that interesting apart from watching near enough 8 hours of golf yesterday.
Did Phil Mickelson win?
What?
What tournament was it? You just said, come on, Phil. And I presume that was Mickelson and it was golf. I don't know anything else.
Yeah. Of course he won. Unbelievable victory, mate. 50 years old, nearly 51, the oldest professional major winner, because apparently there's a guy who was over 50 who won an amateur major back in like 1920. Thank you, Martin Gillingham, for putting him on straight.
Gillo, yeah, but they don't count, do they, amateurs? Anyway.
It's not professional, is it?
Cares about him.
Yeah. Brilliant.
So he's my favourite left-handed golfer of all time, Phil Mickelson.
Mm. Bubba's good as well, mind.
Is he left-handed?
Yep.
Ah, nice. Yeah,
you got it. Right.
Isn't he a bit of a tosser though?
You what?
Isn't Phil Mickelson a bit of a prick?
He's loved, mate.
Is he? Ah, right. Okay.
Mea culpa. He's loved.
Because I did read once that someone said on social media, which means nothing, but someone said that everyone else had flown together to a tournament for the Ryder Cup or something. He took his own jet. And they were like, typical Phil, what a prick, or something like that. I thought to myself, legend. I'd be doing
sounds
that.
Like something you would do, and yeah, you're still 100%. Liked.
Yeah, 100%. Am I?
Tolerated.
But I feel like I'd heard that he's a tosser.
Well, I don't know, because I'm not in those circles, but a lot of people waited around for him after he won, and we're giving him big hugs. Oh, and anytime he's online doing, not online, on TV, he's so funny and engaging.
Oh,
I don't
great.
Think him and Nick Faldo get on that well, though. There seems to be a little bit of animosity there between them.
But I haven't. I feel like, again, I could be wrong here, but I feel like a few people don't get on with Nick Faldo.
Fanny.
Mm. But what?
You know, Vijay Singh.
Yeah.
Wanted to marry Nick Faldo's caddy.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wanted to make a Fanny Singh. Sorry.
But yeah, just let me do the jokes, all right?
Sorry, you know, I worked out for myself. Line. I worked it out for myself.
Because I gave you the Fanny before, didn't I? It's a name, all right? It's a reference to a name.
That's good. Have you ever, look, on a slight tangent, have you ever, different words that can be made up from your own name, like Tom can be Mott? But in Shanklin, have you realized that the word kiln can be made from your, within your surname, the letters are within your surname. Have you ever thought of doing some sort of corporate partnership or Instagram paid partnership with Kiln Dried Logs from the petrol station?
No.
Me neither.
All right.
But I'd look at my name flat and I think to myself, well, surely there's a commercial property gig to be done here, deal to be done here, but nothing.
Yeah, you have to think with Sam Warburton, like bread, but no.
Yeah, but has that never been done?
He's actually done Braces Bread, I think.
Oh my God, what a coup
Welsh
for them.
Welsh company.
What a coup for them.
Mm.
In a sense, if you use him for Braces, you're also advertising Warburton, aren't you, aren't you? Of course you are. You're saying Warburton on all your adverts. I don't know.
You could do like Dave Coaches, couldn't you?
Yeah, but it's like if you had someone called Steve Kingsmill,
yeah,
you wouldn't get him to advertise Warburton's bread, would you?
There's an Italian player who's, I can't remember his first name, but his surname's Ferrari.
Simone Ferrari.
Yep.
Yeah. And he's a tighter prop, big fella, least Ferrari-ish player in the team.
Do you think, now if you're a Formula One driver, like if you drive for Renault, like what are they going to give you, like a Megane? Maybe a Clio, a Williams
this
Clio.
Before. Yep.
If you drive for Mercedes, you get a nice C-Class, maybe greater, or it could be a coupe, you know, if you've not got a family. Or if you drove for Ferrari, I'm just assuming you're going to get a car, aren't you?
Get a Ferrari. And if you drive for McLaren, you get a McLaren. If you drive for Mercedes, to be fair, Tommy, they do have some pretty immense cars at the top of their range. But yeah,
big time.
Renault? No, thanks. Renault Sport are great cars, like, but they're not in the same league as Ferraris and McLarens. Come on.
You might not know this, and I don't know. People will know, but I wonder what engine Red Bull have. Do you know? Is it a Renault? Is it a Honda?
Don't know.
Hmm. Interesting. But Max Verstappen won the Monaco Grand Prix. That's the only reason why I'm
good on him.
Saying this. Yeah.
You like a bit of Grand Prix, don't you?
I do.
Which is odd, because you don't have... I mean, you've got a very nice car indeed, but you're not really into cars, are you?
I mean, Monaco is one of the original Grand Prix, but it's not the most exciting.
It's shit.
Because
it's the worst
there's not many corners or straights to be able to overtake.
Yeah.
If you lead, basically, you don't make any mistakes. That's it. You know, you can't use DRS. But it's still nice. Still like to go.
It's iconic, but it's the worst bit.
I wonder if anyone's got a boat that would moor it up in Monaco and just let me and you entertain guests. Wouldn't want a fee.
Well, I would.
Maybe 10 grand, but...
Yeah.
And we can just do drinking games.
There will be somebody. I tell you what, I don't want to say names here because it would be really inappropriate, but Chris Wishlade, he's probably listening to this.
Mm.
Good bloke. You know Chris.
He's a
mate of Francois Lowe's, good fella. And he said he saw you and you were offensive and good form. He must know someone.
I watched him nobble 2 drives off the 8th hole at Berkshire. And he nobbled one about 4 meters, and I thought, should I get my phone out now? But I thought, nah, he's definitely not going to nobble the second one off the tee, you know, when he took another ball, and he did. And I was a little bit angry with myself because he was there for the taking.
I can't believe you didn't. That must be one of the first things that's ever happened within 50 meters of you that you haven't filmed. I assumed you had like two GoPros with full batteries every morning and just swap them over on a head cam.
I cannot wait until we meet again in Paddington Station. One day I'm going to have to go through my phone. And if you like, it's actually quite easy, because if you type in search box the location, if I type in Paddington, like all the videos and pictures.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'll do that. I've got a collection of flats walking through, looking for me around Paddington Station.
Yeah, just lost at Paddington, bowling in. I'm like, oh, for Christ. And every time it's like, I know what he's doing. I can't find him. Like, for our listeners, you don't believe me. Shanks will find out estimate, because now I won't tell him what train I'm on. He'll estimate and he will get an earlier train and wait and hide behind a pillar at Paddington, seemingly for hours waiting. He tracks them on an app, sees when my train's coming in, and then films me coming all the way down off the train and being
childish, aren't I? I am childish. I'm childish.
Bloody hell. Hey, I went to a restaurant last week, boy.
Where?
London. Went up London, mate. Went to a top London restaurant. I went out with the Beast, Andy Beattie. And Sean Ruff Justice, and our three respective life partners.
Yeah, you don't have to be coy anymore, mate. It's rule of six, so you know you don't have to lie anymore, basically, do you?
Six of us went out and got smashed. Well, my girlfriend didn't, because she had to drive back from London late, and the M4 was closed at two different points, and we fell out. We fell out, and that was mainly my fault. We fell out. I tend to fall out with whoever my co-pilot is either way when there's a divert, when the M4's shut at night. That is a theme for me, because it happens to me a lot. I'm sure it does to you too. But I leave London, you know, pre-COVID and post-COVID, hopefully will do. I leave London quite late at night quite often to drive home. And it's just a ball ache when you're heading out on the M4 and it's like M4 shut and you got to go down to the M3 and round or that. Yeah. But in between lockdowns, I did have M4 and M3 shut at the same time, which is unforgivable. It's unforgivable from those people. So I had to go, long story short, up the M40 and down. I mean, it's a good story, but it ruins your week, because it's an extra 30, 40 minutes of fatigue you do not need in your system.
You might want to use that after dinner, mate, when we're back online. Were you drinking whiskey? Because I know you're trying to take up whiskey, because Craig Doyle and Martin Bayfield have little chats about it.
You know what? I didn't.
It's a shame.
It was quite warm. It was a lovely bit. The sun was out. So I decided to have a couple of pints. And do you want the honest truth from me? The honest truth is, 3 pints of lager at dinner is actually too much for me. Not like, oh, I'm drunk, but it's actually the volume of it is actually a bit too much for me. I like a couple of pints, get to the wine.
Well, we arrived in a bar called Pitch, which is on Mill Lane. And there was five of us on Friday. We arrived there and one of the guys said, oh, it's Bubs' birthday. Just taking the piss. And Ben, who runs it, came out with a shot of whiskey for him.
Yeah.
And we made him drink it. And then he said, it's actually not my birthday. Can they all have one as well? So we had a whiskey chaser with our Guinness.
You like it?
And then I think we had 3 pints before food, and when we asked for the bill, 5 more whiskies came out. I was like, I hate it, mate. It's like I get a burn all down my lungs.
Thing is that like there will be whiskies out there that won't do that to you and you'll really like it, but
no, I won't, mate.
It's so hard to find them.
I won't like whiskey. I don't like whiskey. It's like I don't like olives or mushrooms. You can't make someone like it because it's expensive.
It's nothing to do with expensive. You said that bit.
No, you said some good whiskies.
So. I said there'll be some whiskies out there that won't do that to you. Mm. But the process of finding them can be a painful one.
Yeah, nah, not for me. Not for me. Where were you the weekend? What did you do?
Oh, I was at my parents' house in Kent. Didn't work. So I actually watched the final on TV, as did Ben Kay, which I found. Ben Kay wasn't commentating, which I found a surprise.
Yeah, he did the World Cup final, didn't he? He might have done two World Cup finals.
He's done two or three now, I'd have thought.
Mm.
But there you are. And we'll talk about, I'm sure we'll talk about the rugby in a minute. But yeah, I actually had a weekend at my parents with the kids and my girlfriend, and it was nice time. It was a good wholesome weekend.
And you've been busy today, haven't you?
I had to drive up to Kent and back though in a car that isn't mine. Very nice car, but it wasn't quite the same as driving my normal car up there. And I did enjoy something different, but I got my car back today. I went to swap it back in Bristol because I lent it to a friend. For a long trip, and it feels good. Like, you're not that into cars, but I get back in my car and I'm like on a high then for the rest of the day because I got my car back. But yeah, I've been busy, boy, mate.
Because you've written a couple of questions down.
I wasn't going to mention it. I also went for a 7 mile walk this morning at 7 a.m. But I took, I don't
like a fasting walk. Is that?
It's, you know what? A mate of mine has applied to be on a certain TV show. Can't say what it is because he asked me not to, but it's SAS Who Dares Wins. And just in case he gets on it, he's doing like these long yomps with weighted backpacks and stuff. And he's not going to get on it because he's just not. But if he's going on these walks, I said, yeah, I'll get up and I'll come along. It's good. It's good for my body to do.
Yeah.
Low, you know, sort of low heart rate, steady state cardio, basically.
I didn't watch the one last night. I was watching the golf, which I'll probably watch it tonight. Last week's was brilliant, though. And I think everyone who goes on there now, they're on there for a reason, aren't they? You know, they're on there for either a death of a loved one or some sort of, they've been bullied or whatever, or they're dealing with PTSD from different jobs, which is great because I suppose it gives them a chance to sort of push themselves, and it's the drive they want, really, and the drive they need, I suppose, as to why they're on there. But I still love it. I still love Ant Middleton. They were saying to the guy, the Irish dancer, last week, weren't they? He's going, you know, what military training have you done? You know, why are you so disciplined? He said, I did it through Irish dance. Right, go on then, show me. He did this dance.
Go on then. Very good.
He did this dance. Very good. You can see him try not to laugh. And then Melvin, he went, now F off John Travolta.
Just so good.
It just got
so good.
All the way through. It was good.
Now it is, so after the first or second episode, whatever it was, because I sort of watched a couple and I thought, obviously, this is brutally hard what they're doing. And I thought to myself, do you know what? It just doesn't look as brutal as it has done before. And I know they're shouting at them and stuff, but they're doing one of, it seems like they're doing, you never quite know, you know, what time of day it is and stuff, but there seems like they're doing one or two hard things a day, but they're not doing that much in a day. And I was like, I just wondered, like, maybe I must be wrong. And then Ant Middleton did an Instagram post or whatever, and he said, now you can see why I've left the show. Thank you. Now you can see what I've been dealing with, or something like that, to paraphrase. Thank you, SAS Australia, for letting me, or whatever it channel it is, for letting me. So he's obviously doing an Australian one and let me do it how it needs to be done. So he feels like, oh, maybe it's gone soft or something. And I know that he was very opposed to women being allowed to enter selection for the special forces, and then 5 minutes later they had to include women on the show, or maybe they always did, I can't remember, but women were included, and he kind of had to treat them the same, which is great. But he had been quite public and come out and said they shouldn't be, I think they shouldn't be allowed in the special forces. And he's like, you know, I never met the guy, and he's mates with Jason Fox, who's a lovely man. So I imagine for me there must be some redeeming features, but I look at him during COVID and stuff and I think, oh, I mean,
just, he got it wrong.
I feel like I probably had just a bit of a shit bloke, actually. And he's like, I haven't read his book, so I absolutely hold my hands up and say I have not read it and I will not read it. But I happened to stay at a friend's house last week and they've read it and said, and told me that he'd said stuff like, you know, I do not believe in getting therapy for PTSD. And if my kids were, you know, so it's almost like if my kids were scared of swimming, I'd throw them in the river. Get over it. And it's like, it's just, for me, it's like, well, if that's how you want to think, fine. But, you know, it's like, not everyone thinks like you, mate, and they're allowed to think differently. But then, so I was like, nah, wouldn't miss him massively. But I do think he's brilliant on the show. Like, he is class at hosting that show. But I just want, I looked at it and thought, because everyone's backstories, they do make it interesting, but it's getting more and more like X Factor where...
Well, I was going to say that, but yeah. I didn't want to.
Yeah, it's getting like that, isn't it? And it's, yeah, it's not, it's just the backstories just add a layer of interest to the story, really.
But it also gives them motivation to do it, because, like, I will never do it because I just don't have the motivation to do it, but someone else might because of what they've been through and they need, like, that drive in their life. And they want to push themselves.
And also, I'm not, you know, loads of people say, for some reason, when I don't know what it's like for you in Wales, but here playing rugby, we were always getting linked up with the military and the SAS and the SBS, and we became like good mates with lots of those guys. And it's like, it's cool as frig to be in the special forces. I know that and all that, but it was like constantly getting compared playing rugby with war. And it's like, no, you don't compare the two. It's not the same. Having said that, I reckon I know 20 lads that would piss SAS Who Dares Wins. Like, there's loads of pro rugby lads that would, of course, it's difficult. Lying in freezing cold water and jumping into it in the dark is hard work, but...
I see the tattoo artist.
I know loads of lads that would dominate that, you know.
I love the fact when Anne Mulford said, how dare you come on my course in shit condition?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know what? You got to run a certain distance in a certain time. I think it's like 1.5 miles in 9 minutes, 9.5 minutes, something like that. There are these things, when you apply, there are these conditions. And I was watching that first one thinking, they can't do that. They couldn't run that quick. That's like, remember Tony Rock, the open side, who played for Saris? That's like the sort of pace he was doing. They can't run like that. That's they haven't been.
Tony Rock and Roger Bannister.
Yeah. But I love the show, but I do think this is the weakest series so far. That's
all right. What were your questions that you've lined up? Because you've done a bit of prep today. Bored or just having a real long poo.
No, do you know what? I was actually blocked in. No, I wasn't. I was blocked in, not poo wise, because I was in Bristol getting my car back. I was driving along and I literally saw down a side road the sign Burra, Burra, and I recognized it off Instagram as the coffee bar of a couple of the Bristol players. I think it's Jake Heenan and Luke Morahan have a coffee shop. And I was like, oh, go on then. I'll go in there for a coffee. And I was just fancying a coffee. So I'd done my long walk and I'm a legend and I should be in the special forces. And I pulled in and got a little flat white and came out, and that was it. That was me for 20 minutes. I got blocked in by a van. And I thought, well, what do I do here? I'm not in a rush. I do feel like punching a hole in his van. Or if I was the Ultimate Warrior or the Incredible Hulk, I would tip it into that wall. But he obviously, and he ended up coming out of a different shop with a coffee, and he'd just been sat having a coffee and blocked me in.
Okay. Anyway, what were the questions then, mate?
I was a bit bored. All right. Top three movies that you're about to go to bed on a Tuesday night. What time do you go to bed? You're quite a nerd, aren't you? 10 after 10?
About half 10, yeah.
Pathetic.
But, mate, I've broken sleep because of a 2.5-year-old.
Yeah, I feel for you, boy. I feel for you. So it's 20 past 10. You're about to go to bed. Mm-hmm. You've been watching Netflix and you flick off Netflix back to normal TV before you just sit up and take your cereal bowl in to the kitchen. Recycle your Domino's box, and a movie is on and it's just starting. What are the top three movies most likely to keep you up on that sofa until 1 a.m?
Well,
on a school night.
It's a difficult one, that, mate, because movies you've seen before, so it's got to be something like, I think a series is something that keep me up, because if it's a good movie, I would have seen it already in the cinema, so I know what's going to happen. But with series, especially like thriller series, you know, sometimes often episodes are left, you're in suspense, aren't you? So yeah. Something like Game of Thrones, Line of Duty. I've written a few down, really, that would really keep me up if I wanted to watch. Line of Duty be one. I know you hate that. There's so many mistakes. and there was something to do about systematic. What were you on about? Systematic corruption. And that was a great portrayal of that, because it's not always... Yeah, anyway. Broadchurch. Do you remember Broadchurch?
It's Mr. Everyday.
Yeah. Remember Broadchurch? Murder of Danny Latimer. That was great. Homeland.
Was Latimer's West Country accent real?
Have you watched Homeland?
Yeah, I got bored. Series 2, bailed.
It gets better. Boardwalk Empire was epic.
Was it?
Yeah, it's really good. 24.
Yeah, gotcha. Down.
Luther. I've also got Major Golf, because I stayed up till about 12:15 last night watching that. And you don't see them as often anymore, but a real good boxing match, mostly heavyweight.
Yeah.
You know, so if you got a Klitschko, Joshua, something like that, you know, if that's on, I'm staying up late to watch it. So I'm not sure whether Joshua Tyson is going ahead now or not, because isn't there something in...
Well, Deontay Wilder saying he wants whatever it is, 15 or 20 million quid to step aside.
Yeah. Anyway, they're the ones that will keep me up. What about you?
One suggestion, by the way, that Paul Smith, the boxer, who I loved watching and love his commentary, he made a suggestion and just said it's just an idea. I think it might be flawed, but one way to get out of it is that Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua just give up all their belts and say, there you go. All the belts are gone. We're fighting anyway. Then they're out of that contract hole. They get paid the same. Everyone knows this, the top two heavyweights. Can their egos handle giving the belts back and then fighting? Interesting.
Everyone's got a price.
So yeah, of course they have. Mine's about 40 quid. I reckon The Guard, we've discussed that before, Brendan Gleeson on this pod. That's my favourite film of all time, The Guard. Absolutely love it. I have stayed up late to watch that, and I have stayed up late to watch Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah. Which Oscar is Oscar winning movie, what, that
one. Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
God, you're good on movies.
Pretty sure.
You're good on movies. And another film that I haven't written it down, I never write anything down, that I've forgotten, but I really... Oh.
Unforgotten? Was that
no,
it?
No, Unforgotten. Yeah, that's another series I love. One film I stayed up late to watch was called Little Miss Sunshine. Have you ever seen that?
What's it on, mate? Cartoonito.
Yeah.
No, I've heard of it, yeah.
That's a brilliant film. But another one that would make me stay up late would be Kickboxer, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Classic.
Predator. I'd stay up late for Predator, and I mean that, bottom of my
mind. I wouldn't, because I've seen them all. So that's why I like a series that you're not sure what's going to happen.
Yeah. Do you know what I once got a few behind because I was really busy on Game of Thrones, and the new one was coming out on the Monday, and I wanted to watch the new one live on the Monday. So everybody went to bed and it was 11:30, and I was like, right, I'm doing it. I'm watching a couple of hours in a row. So I've done it for Game of Thrones. That was my most addictive ever TV series.
Okay. What was the other question then you had?
Another question. Right. What's the biggest problem you're going to face this week? What's the most negative part of your week?
Driving to Birmingham to fly to Belfast.
You could swim there quicker, couldn't you?
There ain't many flights.
Oh, fella. That's garbage.
Covering Ulster Scarlets on Saturday. So
be a good game though.
But that's it. Yeah, it will be.
Are you flying the day before?
Hopefully. Flying on Friday, yeah.
Oh, hello.
Club sandwich. It's an afternoon kickoff on
Hiltonburg. Is it Hiltonburger?
Oh. Definitely be a club sandwich. And chips. Diet Coke.
Oh, beautiful. Straight in the room. Kettle on. What biscuits we got? If not, why not? Oh, short what channels bread. We got? What channels we got?
I don't need channels, mate. Got the iPad. Sky Go.
Oh, well done, boy. Mm. I still use your Sky Go, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. Thanks for that.
What's the most negative part of your week?
I discovered that, you know, obviously life's gone really well for me, and I've got a third car. So I've got a car, my girlfriend's got a car, and I've got a third car, which apart from the fact that it's almost worthless, like it is worth less than the footstool that my feet are currently on, which is not worth anything. But I've got this old car that I really like, had it about a year, 18 months, something like that. And I thought to myself the other day, do you know what? I don't have I can't find the V5 logbook for it. Got in touch with DVLA, not easy. It turns out I don't own it. It is not taxed. The number plate that is on it doesn't exist except for in its plastic form. And I basically have somehow overlooked doing any of the paperwork for that car.
Sound like you.
I know. So basically, I was like, so I've been driving that car for the last 18 months. And they, do you know what they said to me? Is it insured? And weirdly, the tenuous link here is that it is insured with Piercy. Luke Pierce, the referee's dad, does all my car insurance, all the lads' car insurance, always has. Legend, Andrew Piercy, obviously. Mm. And he said, no, it's completely legit. And it's just registered to basically the dealer you bought it from. And he happens to be a mate of mine. So he's fine. And basically the car has been insured. How has that been insured? I don't understand. But anyway, it's been insured. I paid the insurance. So I've got to go through all of that this week. And I've got to go to the post office to fill out V62C or whatever it is, application forms. And I'll be honest with you, it is a cloud that hangs over my head. I really don't like that sort of stuff.
And they are the two questions, two Flatman questions. Might not make a weekly installment that, but...
All right, what's the best part of your week upcoming? What's the best thing you're doing?
Golf on Thursday morning.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. That's nice, boy.
What's yours?
Well, I got a couple of nice bits going on work-wise this week, Land Rover and Vodafone and stuff, and that's great. But I'm doing...
Oh, nice.
I got Wings Day on Thursday.
Wings Day?
Chicken wings.
Ah.
I got three bags of them from Field and Flower. I just hit times three.
What'd you go, barbecue or piri piri?
Piri piri.
Lovely.
Which I regret now, because now the kids might not eat them.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You mentioned Luke Pierce. He reffed at the weekend.
Yeah.
What a great job he did.
Yeah, although Ronan Ogara wasn't happy with the decision, missed right at the end.
I'm not sure he was supporting his own weight when they're on the ball. I had a couple of looks at that this morning, and it wasn't clear and obvious. I don't know, I can't remember who was jackling for La Rochelle. I think it might have been one of the front rowers, but to me it didn't quite look like he was fully supporting his own weight. But, he'd be a little bit upset maybe about it. You could see it going both ways, but I don't think he's supporting his own weight. But there we go. But Bottia being sent off 27 minutes.
Oh.
Haddad did so well to come back on.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
That was big.
What a hit.
It was, yeah. It was
Luke Pierce, I agree, was brilliant, by the way. I was chuffed.
It was a great hit on someone at 6'4", but not someone that's under
5'9".
Yeah.
Oh, and built like a English teacher.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I was gutted. I mainly gutted because I want to watch him.
Yeah, so do I. I bet that essentially killed the game off, really. Although La Rochelle had a couple of opportunities. But to be honest, mate, it was a different game from what we've been watching recently, I suppose, in Rainbow Cup and in Gallagher Premiership, because it doesn't really matter how you win, does it? It doesn't really matter about what you do on the field, and it's purely about winning when it comes down to final stages. So, you know, I was hoping for one of these all-out, fast-tempo games, but there was a little bit of rain, and it was just a battle of size, basically. There were some monster men on that field. I mean, the game didn't really get going until around 46 minutes, I think, when it was either Colby or DuPont made a break. You know, until then, it was just tackle, hit, really physical, really tough. But it just... two nervous teams, basically, which are going to get in the final. What a ball by Entomac over the top, though, for the try.
Yep. It's class, it's beautiful, mate. Isn't it? You see, you see the Toulouse lads took ski goggles in their bags.
That's something I would do, just in case.
Yeah, exactly. You had a full stormtrooper outfit.
You cannot tell anyone, just in case.
But they must have known each other. They must have told each other. There must have been at least three or four of them that knew they were taking ski goggles.
But you can't mention it to anyone.
No.
Absolutely anyone, just in case.
No way. No way. One of my favourite bits during the game was when Nick Mullins asked Sam Warburton and Austin Healey to just sum up the game in a word so far, maybe two words. And I thought, will Sam Warburton be eloquent and reasonably polite? Yes, he was. Then I thought, will Austin just say exactly what he thinks straight away? Yes, he did. And he said, it's dull. I was like, yep, it is. It was crap. Like, I know,
underwhelming a little bit.
There you go. Because it was just wasn't a very good game for most of it, but then
doesn't matter though, does it, mate?
The occasion,
massively.
So I really enjoyed it, but it objectively wasn't a good game of rugby, really.
They played better rugby in pool games and in quarters and semis, so but no one remembers that. I mean, it's just another win for Toulouse. I mean, I love listening to Ronan O'Gara though speak, like, he's so good. I think Brian Driscoll mentioned it, like, his sound bites are incredible, Like, he speaks so much sense. He takes his time. So, you know, sometimes when you're doing stuff on TV, often you don't know where you're going, how you're going to end, what's going to come out. He knows exactly what he's saying.
Yeah.
Like, from start to finish. He's so composed. And you can tell he's super intelligent.
Yeah, that's it. You can tell how bright he is, can't you?
Yeah, you can.
And, you know, like, you know, if there's... okay, you and I haven't been coaching for the last 10 years, but let's say when you retire 10 years ago, whatever it is, there are coaches that, you know, there aren't many people in rugby that would know more about you than playing, you know, who've just about playing center at top level or whatever.
No one would. You're right.
Yeah, no one would. Exactly. But actually it's a combination of, it's just like being a commentator, actually. It's a combination to different ratios, how much you know versus how well you can communicate what you know. And it's so much to do with being a commentator is more about communicating, but you do need to know a lot, but you just don't need to delve into it with, you know, this sort of as intricately and is in as much detail as Ronan O'Gara would, or a Sam Vesti would, or a Dwayne Peel would. You just, because actually that will ruin the experience for the viewers. So you can't do that. You've got to back off a bit. But actually, you can imagine Ronan O'Gara's communication in whatever language he's comfortable speaking being excellent, can't you?
Yeah, really clear, concise, thought about.
Whereas I'd be coaching and no one would ever get to do any actual training because I'd be talking the whole time. And then people would say to you, I'm not feeling great. And you'd say, piss off with your emotions. We'll pick someone else.
You'd be like this, right? Any questions? No, about me.
guys, not the game. How does everyone think I'm doing in coaching?
But great to have fans back, Flats. It makes a massive difference and see people there. I know it's obviously spread out because that's the only way you're allowed to watch games, but it's still good to hear noise and hear actual proper noise in a stadium. And
yeah,
I'm sure players will see it as well. Mate, the scenes in the Gulf with crowds back in America were unbelievable.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, especially walking up the 18th because Brooks Koepka and Phil Mickelson were the last two pairings, so all the crowds were following. They were just absorbed by crowds and security having to push their way through. Brilliant to see because we've been starved from it so long. And Leicester, Montpellier on the Friday night, the Challenge Cup, you know, a competition that, you know, we've both won.
Yeah.
essentially, you know, we're champions of Europe.
It's the big one. It's a big
sort
one.
Sort of. It's a big one. Leicester came so close.
I know. I quite enjoyed that game, actually. Obviously, we all look at different things, but I was super impressed by Leicester's power. Like, their maul was mega.
Really good, wasn't
Cole
it?
Cole and Genge, Tom Young's classmate. Dan Cole, I know everyone wrote him off after the World Cup final a couple of years ago. He doesn't do a lot of the stuff that Sinclair does and Furlong does. I know that, but primary role stuff, he has still got it big time. Mm. Big time. He is like a major player for Leicester Tigers at the moment. He's playing, he kick chases hard. His scrum and line out work is outstanding. Mm. He is just really hard to get win, you know, do over.
Jasper Visa, has he been capped?
I don't know.
I don't
actually.
Think he has.
See, Lozowski's hit on him.
Yeah.
I know he has some help from his mate, but Lozowski don't muck about, does he?
Not at all. And for him to, I wouldn't say, maybe play slightly out of position at 10 when he's probably better 12 or 13.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 10 is like, it's like 9, isn't it? You've got to be playing that position constantly, because it's so much about feel. It's so much about instinct. It's plotting your way around a rugby field. And
yeah,
I thought he did an excellent job. You know, he's a real deal. That's for sure.
Yeah, I like, and I did like Andre Pollard when he came on. I mean, he's big. He smashed, I can't remember who he smashed, but I like him. I like the way he goes about.
He is the key man, mate, for South Africa, if especially with the Lions coming up. It was the same in the World Cup. If you took him out of that South Africa team during the World Cup, they're not winning it, mate. Because they don't, yeah, I don't think they've got the quality be behind him at all. I think he's so pivotal. Say it for me, mate. Pivotal,
that'll do.
In the way South Africa want to play.
Yeah.
That he's invaluable to him. So if he stays fit, South Africa, a total different unit.
By the way, I'm looking online and I think Jasper Visa is not capped, which says to me, I know the whole, got to be careful how you say this, make him English as quickly as possible and give him caps, because he is a freaky ball carrier. Oof.
Yeah. But I think it's difficult, I think, for the South Africans to get capped when they're playing away from home, you know. So I think it's easier when South Africans have been capped when they've been playing in South Africa for a South African team and then leave. But I think it's quite difficult for South Africans who were playing outside of South Africa to get capped, apparently.
Yeah. That's
what Bobby Skinstad told me anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Sam Simmons can't get capped, so Jesper Visa's not getting any. And Zach Mercer can't get a cap. But I did actually enjoy it. I tell you who I loved. Moroni, the Argentinian centre. Mate, he is just smashing people the whole time. He is a lunatic, mate. In a good way. He is a lunatic. I love that guy. I thought you might like him.
They're a lot like that. A lot of the Argentinian centres are. Just hit hard. They run hard. They hit hard. They all do, though. That's just... They're like Italy, really, but with a lot more skill.
Yeah.
Basically. You know, that's the type of game they play.
Yeah, there aren't many...
Properly aggressive.
Was it Juan Martin Hernandez? Was that him? The beautiful guy, El Magico, whatever they call him.
And he could hit... Remember he hit Alex Tuilagi in the corner?
Yeah.
Oh.
But he's like, he was like the graceful, pretty boy, and he could nail people. Like Lozowski, who's like athletic, you know, clean cut, handsome, skillful, fast. Yeah, nice one. He leathers people. And you're like... Whenever you play against Argentina at any level, it is physically bloody hard work, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I liked him. I thought you might like him.
Yeah. I do, mate.
Hey, keep going.
That will do us. There's not much rugby to talk about this weekend, really.
No, we don't need it.
Two games that were okay, but they were both finals, so no one really cared about the quality. You know, it's just the win was the most important thing. So
yeah,
we'll probably forget them pretty quickly.
Yeah, already forgotten them.
And we'll move on to next week, which is back to Rainbow Cup and Gallagher rugby. So get your questions in, guys, all right? Tweet us. Actually, leave us a review, will you, with 5 stars, because we've not had one for, 6 months? So please do.
Here's a question for you. I'm doing Quins Bath on Saturday. Quins look like they're nailed on top 4. Bath aren't going to make playoffs, but they want to be top 8 for Europe and all that. If you're Stuart Hooper running Bath, do you basically pick half a second team to get lads games before the next season so they're a bit more experienced? Or do you go flat out and try and win against a top 4 team when it makes no real difference?
How confident is he that the board are behind him? Is what I would say.
Ah, good question.
If he's under pressure, which I think he is, I think people want to see performances. So it's a tough one, really.
Good question from you, Tommy.
Yeah.
Good reply.
Bath are under a bit of pressure, mate. So I think it's not really the time to... At some stage, you're going to have to... Look, if the board are 100% behind him, then yeah. You know, if he's confident that, you know, no matter what the results in the next sort of 6 months, then they're going to stick by him, then yeah, by all means, do it, you know. But there's a lot of expectation with Bath. It's not like Newport Gwent Dragons, you know, that Dean Ryan has got hold of, where,
yeah,
you know, he can pick whatever team he wants, really, and he's grown them, and they are actually getting better now, and you're seeing a big change. So I think people want to see results quickly, because Bath is such a big club with such a big name, with such a big history, that people will want to see good performances. So full on, I'd say.
Yeah, okay. Good answer. Well done. All right, I have a good one, fella. Okay.
Yeah, you too. And
I'll let you know how the V62 application goes for the log and the V for the V.
Yeah. And I'll think of two questions next week.
Cheers, mate. It's just a bit of prep, that's what I'm about.
Yeah. Okay, so favourite position.
Scum off. Cheers, boy.
Okay. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.